Eternity's Echo, JFK's Last Stand, Chapter 9, Commander-in-Chief on the Front Lines. The team arrives at the Tunnel of Creation where the rift is already wreaking havoc. To the commando's startled eyes, the landscape is distorted, with patches of reality bending and warping under the pressure of the anomaly. Time is of the essence. JFK stands commanding and resolute, a battlefield commander in every sense of the word. We're on the clock, people. Secure the perimeter and move in on the facility. And Everett, you're with me. Stay sharp. This is no ordinary mission. And Hugh Everett III, focus, scanning the environment, says, "The rift is in the main lab. The readings there are off the charts, so we'll need to deploy the containment device directly in the heart of the anomaly. Anything less and we're done for at wasting our best shot." And a military officer comes over with urgency.
"The perimeter is secure, Mr. President. Now we're encountering spatial anomalies. Some of the terrain isn't where it should be, but we're holding our position. These are trained commandos, so we're going to be moving in at your command, sir."
There is the sound of doors being kicked open, boots running on concrete, the distant hum of the rift growing louder, and even more erratic. The operation is underway, but the rift's instability is increasing with every passing moment. Time flickers unnaturally, causing brief lapses where seconds seem to stretch into minutes and sounds warp into distorted echoes. The team pushes forward, every step a struggle against the disorienting effects of the rift. Kennedy, his voice steady and reassuring, says, "We must keep moving. Don't let its tricks disorient you. It's like a football game. A fake isn't a move. Don't buy into its fakes. Focus on your mission." There is a sudden surge of energy from the left, a low rumble that shakes the facility of the Tunnel to Creation, causing debris to fall from the ceiling. Secret Service agents who've come through the portal start to rush forward. They've remained in the background until now, but the danger to the president is too great. Yet the commander-in-chief, in these dire circumstances, waves them off. The troops watch this, emboldened by the president's courage, and Everett says urgently,
"Mr. President, we're close, but the rift is destabilizing faster than I had anticipated. We need to deploy the device now or very soon, or it might be too late."
And a military officer, yelling over the noise, says,
"We've got your back, Doctor. Just point us where you need the device and we'll get it done."
Kennedy steps in front of Everett and then starts to charge forward as if he's a fullback blocking in a football game. They rush forward, Kennedy in front and Everett following behind him in his wake. As they approach the main lab, the rift looms before them, a swirling vortex of darkness pulsing with malevolent energy. The team itself braces themselves, knowing that one wrong move could mean the end of everything. Some of the rift intensifies, mingling with the sound of heavy breathing and the clatter of equipment as the team prepares for the final push. JFK, determined, addressing the team, says,
"This is it, gentlemen. We're not just here to fight for our lives, we're fighting for the very fabric of reality. On my mark, we move in and deploy that device. No hesitation, no second guessing, we get it done or we don't come back."
There's the sound of hands tightening on weapons and the clinking of gear as the team prepares for the final assault. With the rift pulsating dangerously ahead, the team steels itself for what could be their final mission. The weight of the moment presses on them, and there's no turning back now. And JFK says again firmly,
"On my mark, we will go."
The team charges forward, the roar of the rift reaching a deafening crescendo. They race against time to save not just one world, but all worlds. The commandos have done what they could to secure the facility, but it's clearly under the control of the rift. The alarms are blaring, machinery is whirring out of control, the roar of the rift growing even louder. Hugh Everett follows behind Kennedy, who dashes into the facility. Everett, the chubby scientist, cradles the detonation device. Inside the lab, where the rift looms like a malevolent storm, the team is locked in a desperate battle. The air is thick with tension, the scent of burning ozone. The rift is tearing at the very fabric of reality. JFK, commanding, breathless, says,
We're in the heart of it now, Hugh. Keep those throwers on target, men. And we have to weaken this thing before we can deploy Dr. Everett's device. Commandos, hold your ground. But don't overuse your antimatter throwers.
And Everett, cool despite his breathless state, is adjusting the containment device.
The throwers are doing their job, but it's not enough. We need to get this device in place and finish this. We must finish this once and for all, Mr. President.
The lab structure groans under the strain of the rift's power. The antimatter throwers hiss as they release their payload, creating a temporary buffer against the rift's pull. Suddenly, Bobby appears, rushing in, determined.
Jack, I'm with you always. We're finishing this together. You shouldn't have thrown a party without inviting your favorite brother.
And Jack nods steely.
Well, then stay close. We're not letting this thing win. We have to see it through.
The rift pulses violently, sending shockwaves through the lab. The sound of boots crunching on shattered glass fills the air as Bobby also shields Everett, protecting him from the bursts of energy coming from the rift. Everett is frantic.
The rift is weakening, but it's still fighting.
Once it's down enough, we can deploy the device, but not beforehand. We've got one shot at this. We can't unleash the device until this rift is vulnerable enough. And JFK, shouting over the noise, says,
Bobby, you gotta help me guard Everett. Don't let anything or anyone get near him. He's gotta be able to set off that device, otherwise we've wasted a trip up here.
There's another burst from the rift, which sends equipment flying, but the team holds their ground. The containment device hums louder as it powers up in Hugh Everett's hands, ready for its crucial task. In the heart of the lab, where reality itself is on the brink, the Kennedy brothers and Everett stand together, united in their final front. The antimatter throwers have done their part, weakening the rift just enough for the final blow. And now the fate of everything rests on the successful deployment of the containment device held by Dr. Everett. A commanding officer runs over to the president.
Mr. President, the rift's expansion rate is starting again. We can't hold it off much longer, and we're nearly empty on the antimatter throwers, all of them. My men can't keep back that rift much longer.
There is the sound of dials being frantically turned, tools clanking, machinery humming, and Everett frantically working the machine, sweat pouring down his chubby face, makes the final adjustments.
Just a few more calibrations, Mr. President. We've got to match the frequency. Just if they can hold it steady a while longer, just a little bit, we're almost there.
The tension in the lab is palpable, the team watching Everett's every move, their eyes locked on the containment device. The rift, sensing the imminent threat, pulses violently, sending shockwaves of energy through the lab. A sudden surge from the rift causes lights to flicker and machinery to spark inside. And JFK, steeling himself, his voice resolute, says,
Hugh, this is it. Get ready to deploy. We've got one shot at this. We can't keep our fight in the gym.
Finally, breathlessly, the device held by Everett springs to life, a wave of energy surging through the lab. The rift, sensing the threat, lashes out with a furious roar, its energy becoming more chaotic, more unstable. The team can feel the ground beneath them shudder as the very fabric of reality begins to warp. Bobby senses that an assault or an attack is coming from the rift. His eyes dart around. There are many things lying on the floor. The chaotic energy from the rift has shaken the entire lab, loosening equipment and scattering debris everywhere. Amidst the chaos, there's a small glass receptacle, delicate and shaped like an hourglass. It rolls out from a secure vault, its contents glowing faintly. It's the precious helium anti-nucleus, the very discovery which led to the rift. As the glass receptacle rolls on the floor, comes to a stop at Bobby's feet, and quick thinking, his eyes widening as he realizes what it is, this is the antimatter they found what caused the problem in the first place. The rift crackles with a sudden surge of energy, preparing to lash out at Everett and the device. Everett, panicked, yells,
"Bobby, Jack, get down!"
The sound of a high-pitched whine is heard as the rift charges itself up, but without hesitation, Bobby scoops up the small glass container, the antimatter inside shimmering ominously. In one fluid motion, he leaps in front of Dr. Everett, positioning the hourglass-shaped device as a shield. Let's see if the antimatter can cancel itself out. There's a blast of energy that erupts from the rift, but as it strikes the glass container, a strange silence fills the air, followed by the energy dissipating harmlessly. The burst of energy from the rift has met its match, the helium anti-nucleus counteracting the assault. The lab falls eerily into silence as the energy dissipates, leaving Bobby standing breathless but unharmed, with Everett shielded behind him.
Bobby, you just saved us all.
And Bobby nods resolute.
We're not out of the woods yet. Now we have to finish the job.
In the face of overwhelming odds, it wasn't just their physical prowess, but the sharp, quick thinking of the Kennedy brothers that saved the day for now. With their minds honed under pressure, they preserved the device, ensuring the battle wasn't lost before it even began. Their courage and intellect combined would now offer the world and the many worlds their final chance.